Good day. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today we're joined by Rowland County Superintendent Marvin Moore. And Marvin, this is the first time we've had the opportunity to talk to you since you announced your retirement here the other day.
Chuck, thank you for inviting me up. It's always good to come up and chat with you and see what's going on at Morehead State and what's going on in our community. But yes, I, you know, for the last few years, I've given some thought to it. It was a pension plan that the governor put out and the plan that we, the K group, put out. And looking at all the things that potentially could happen with the governor's plan, I put a lot of thought into it, and I certainly didn't want to take, this makes me 42 years, to have 42 years of work taken away, part of it or all of it, because right now they still haven't put a plan out there. I'm convinced, as I'm sitting here, if the K group and the K group worked hard together to put out a separate plan and shared responsibility plan, and if we hadn't all worked together, the governor's plan would have already been law, and that really scares me, because it can make an impact on people that's in retirement and the people that's getting ready to retire. So I want to get in the system based on what potentially could happen, and it'd be harder for them to deal with this pension if you're in the system. But for the last few years, I've had such a passion for my whole life for kids, for this school district, and I've been I stayed longer than most because of that passion. Because, to be honest with you, it's cost me money to work for the last few years, but I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing it for the passion of the for the kids and passion for the district.
Well, and you mentioned the pension, and it's not really been decided yet. Why not wait until the legislature goes ahead and pens this thing out and you actually know where things are?
Well, I thought about that too, but I'll just be honest with you. I don't trust this governor. I don't trust what's going on in Frankfort. And based on the fact, I think whatever they do finally come out with, it will take effect July 1. And at that time, if you wait up to a month before that, it could have an impact on your decision and on your retirement. And I didn't want to take that chance.
You know, another aspect of this, too, is that the governor has talked about SEEK, which is the basic funding formula for Kentucky's public schools, not going to be changed, going to be left the same. But at the same time, when he talks about not making cuts to education, there are other things that will be cut, transportation and other areas. I know you're very concerned about that.
Very concerned about that, Chuck, and I'm glad you brought that up. When the governor talks about he has not cut SEEK, that's just not the case. When you cut transportation by 62%, or SEEK dollars that we use for transportation comes out of general fund. Those are SEEK dollars. And then when you talk about all the other programs he's laid out that he's going to cut, he zeroed out, it impacts Rowland County to the tune of about $1.5 million. And if I calculate $1.5 million into personnel, because 80% of our budget is in personnel, the other 20% is in transportation and keeping the buildings open. But when you look at those kind of cuts, that equates to about 20 jobs for us. So what 20 jobs do you look at and cut if his budget goes through? And that's why it's going to be very important for everybody in this Commonwealth to send a message that is not a good budget. I don't know how they keep sitting down there making these kind of decisions without impacting and getting more people involved. I would think that one of the first things I would want to do is look at the way to restructure the tax code and bring more revenue into the Commonwealth. Then you know how much dollars that you got to work with, and then sit down and see what you need to decide what you're going to cut, what you're not going to cut. But they've laid out his budget, and his budget, to me, would be devastating for public education. I really don't think this governor wants public education to be successful. I think when I say that, because they've already pushed through the charter bill, they're pushing out to go for vouchers, and they've already got a bill introduced that anybody that wants to donate to private schools, they can use that as a tax deduction. So with all that, in my opinion, I think public education is under attack both at the state level and both at the federal level. And those things really, really concern me because I just don't see that being good for kids.
Well, you mentioned that your transportation budget, the money you get from the state to pay for your buses that hit the roads and bring the kids to school every day, is going to be cut. What other programs are facing cuts right now as you see it?
Well, community ed, he zeroed out. Textbooks, he zeroed out. PD, they've zeroed out.
And that's professional development.
Professional development. Teacher intern, they've zeroed out. And then they're talking about cutting transportation at 62%. Transportation has not had an increase since 2003-04 school year. They've been funding that at 58%. This past year, we put $1.2 million in transportation just to keep it where it's at now. And if they cut that 62%, that's another $650,000 cut for the Ryan County schools. And as I say, all the other things that they zeroed out, what they're talking about cutting, and then they cut city transportation by 62%, that's about $1.5 million for us. And it'll be tough to find that. We'd have to go to personnel, go to programs, and it's going to be devastating for public education.
Because of the worries about your own personal retirement and also with the cuts to all these programs in education, in some ways do you feel like you're being forced into retirement?
Well, I have the project at the KCTCS building, which we purchased for $5 million in order for the KCTCS project to happen out on 801. And I might say I was out there Friday with the ribbon cutting. That is a beautiful facility. They've done a nice job with that. But we wanted that building up there on Viking Drive. It's between the high school and the middle school, as you well know. But we just felt like it'd be a good opportunity. Since we sold our board office to the university, we have transitioned into the what we refer to as the old middle school. And that's worked out very well. But we're going to go out to the KCTCS building, and we're going to renovate that, and the central office will be moved out there. The preschool will be moved out there, and then the alternative school. And then on the back end of it, in the diesel shop areas, we're going to renovate that and to dressing facilities. And it's a 70,000-square-foot building out there, and it's in good shape. We just need to do some renovation, and I think that will be a good facility out there for all those programs and for all of our kids, and we're looking forward to making that transition. And then, of course, downtown where we're at now with the board office and the Early Learning Center, we had that surveyed over there. You know, there's 10.7 acres, and we've also had it appraised. Of course, I can't discuss the appraisal, but it's a nice piece of property downtown Moorhead. So we've got a lot of good things going with those properties. And at that time, the board will determine what they're going to do with that property once we make that transition out to the KCTCS building on Viking Drive.
You mentioned that you already own that MCTC building. It is yours, but, of course, they're still in the process of getting everything moved out. When will the school district actually take possession of the building and be able to start the renovations, and how much do you anticipate the renovations costing?
Yeah. Well, when we purchased that building, like I said, we bonded $5 million, and then they leased it back from us. So for the past 2 years, they've been paying us $356,000 a year. That more than makes the bond payment for 2 years. Now this coming year, their phase two, they haven't finished that yet, which will go out on the 801 right down from the new KCTCS building. And once they complete that, then we've already got an architect, and we've already laid out the design. And I would say probably within a year, maybe a year and a half, we will actually put out for bids. And we estimated, and we have put in the budget, about $3.5 to $4 million to renovate that to the KCTS building, to move those and transition those programs out there. And so in the meantime, we're leasing back to them what they call their A building and B part of that building. The C, they have completely vacated. The A and B part, they're still leasing from us, and we worked out a lease agreement of $277,000 for another year. And with the keeping in mind, if they need it for longer than that, we're going to work with them because we feel like that's a project out there that it's going to not only serve Round County, it's serving about all the 18 surrounding counties as well. And to me, it's been a good program for our county and surrounding county as well.
So how much do you think it might cost? Do you have a rough idea? Or
we're estimating $3.5 million, maybe $4 million to renovate, to get ready to move the central office, the preschool, and the alternative school. And then if we do the renovation and turn some of the back area into the dressing facilities, we're anticipating between $3.5 to $4 million.
Now, we will point out that building money and project money is different than actual general operating budget type money, but how do you pay for all the improvements
Those will be bonded. We are bonding potential right now is around $6 million. We bonded $5 million to purchase the KCTCS building. We bonded $4.2 million to renovate the high school. And then also we bonded the multi-purpose complex out there where we put turf on the football field, completely have redone the outdoor track facilities and all those things that go with the track program. And we bonded 1.2 for that. And so we're letting a bonding bill back up. Those things will, those facilities will be bonded. And right now we feel like we have enough to do that. And then the longer we go, we'll get another offer from the state and hopefully have a little more than that and do some other things at that time. That's one project that I wanted to do before I made the decision to retire, but the more I thought about it with what's going on with this pension, I just got nervous about it, and I don't want to put 42 years of work in and have somebody with a stroke of the pen take some of that away. So I factored all that in and made that decision. I get nervous, and I am nervous about my time. As you know, Chuck, I play a little golf, and I enjoy the camaraderie with the guys I play with out at Eagle Trace and some of the surrounding golf courses. But I'm a person, I have to have a purpose every morning to get up to go to. And I get a little nervous with my time, so I'll have to restructure that. But time goes on, and it's time to bring in new blood to the district, and I think the board has started that process. They had their first meeting last week to decide who they're going to use for the help them to make that search. And then they got another board meeting this Wednesday night to go ahead and start the other part of that search. And the board will do a good job for that. And I told them I would not be involved at all. If they have questions, I'd be happy to answer that. So the transition has started. And right now, I'm up to June 30th, and I'm still nervous.
Well, you mentioned that you may have a potential job already lined up. At least someone's talked to you about maybe working for them.
Yeah, I've had two or three companies that sell products, materials, and supplies to school districts, and I think they know that I have a lot of contacts with all the school districts in East Kentucky. I don't think there's a superintendent that I'm not acquainted with and I consider a friend. And they've contacted me and said, when you retire, why don't you come talk to us? Because they feel like maybe I could already get my foot in the door, the old saying goes. And that could be some potential as well. But, you know, we may travel a little bit. But I tell people all the time, I sleep better in my own bed. If I could just get there and see the sights, I'd be all right. But getting there and sleeping in a strange bed, I don't enjoy that very much. But I'll get into something, and I'll get into a routine here. My plan, I'll join the fitness center here on campus, and I enjoy riding bikes. I'll have a bike and do those kind of things because I have to do something to keep myself busy.
Again, our guest today on the front page is Rowan County Superintendent Marvin Moore. Will step aside for just a moment. Come back with more right after this.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Morozik, and our guest is retiring superintendent of Round County Schools, Marvin Moore. It's almost hard for me to say that because you and I have been talking now for the last several, as we look ahead to your replacement, you're not involved in the search process, but at the same time, if there is one recommendation you would make to the person that replaces you, what would it be?
I would say to make sure that we keep focus and stay focused on what's best for kids. I can actually say the 13 years I've been the superintendent in Round County that every decision we made, now I'm not saying I haven't made mistakes, but every decision we made, I made it what I felt like the best for kids, stay focused and keep the kids focused, build a relationship with the parents in the community, because if you get parent support, if everybody works together, you usually that you can ask parents get involved with activities, and if you got parents involved, I've already found if you get parents involved, the kids do better in school, they will respond to you better, and then certainly you're going to have to, the person will have to keep an eye on this budget, even though, you know, we right now, our budget, we're in pretty decent shape. We end the year a little over 6%. The state mandates, by law, you have 2%. KDE, they strongly suggest that you keep 5%. We're a little over 6%. But who knows what's going to come down, because what's happening at the state level, they're trying to push everything down to the local level when it comes to talk about raising taxes. They want the local level to make those decisions. They won't make those tough decisions in Frankfort and those kind of things, and keep an eye with the curriculum. And because in Kentucky, we made a lot of gains when it comes to academic gains. And we're up to about 35, 36 in the country, and we've made those gains by hard work, by commitment, and I say stay focused on the academics, and if they'll do that and build a strong morale with the staff, keep the staff working hard with the staff, and build that relationship with staff, and making sure that the morale stays there, I think that whoever comes in will have a successful career.
With things the way they are and the way they're moving forward financially for the district, you feel like that a tax hike is just about a definite thing?
Well, you know, the last 3 years, Chuck, we've kept it flat except for this year, and we actually lowered taxes. We were 56.8. This year we set it at 56.4. So depending on what comes out of Frankfort, and depends on what the legislators do, and if they take the governor's proposal, it's going to push a lot of things back down to the local level. And of course, you know, every year the local board can raise it 4% without subject of recall, and that'd be something that they'll have to look at as well. If they don't financially help us in Frankfort and at the federal level, because they're talking about cuts at the federal level too, or Title $2 are going away, Title $6 could be going away, Title I has been cut every year, so they're not going to. If you're going to keep the programs that you got, and you're going to keep personnel in place and do the things what's best for kids, it's going to be hard not to.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you and I talked about this matter earlier. Even if the taxes were raised by 4%, it would only cover a small percentage, or not enough of the percentage of the cut you're facing, which, as you mentioned, is over $1 million.
Well, as I mentioned, $1.5 million. If we raised theirs by 4%, it'd bring in about $370,000. So that didn't equate to the $1.5 million that you're losing. So then you're still going back to programs or personnel, because, as I mentioned earlier, 80% of our budget is in personnel, and it'd be devastating to kids to lose the programs we've had, and also devastating to the people. You don't think much about it, but until you get a pink slip that it's affecting your job, then you see the impact it will have. So that's something for everybody to keep an eye on.
Well, and there was something that happened last week, I'm sure, as a school official, that really had to make your blood run cold with the shootings at Marshall County, where you had two students killed and several were wounded. And I know that you've gradually over the years made more and more effort to put more security. I know that the high school has a new entryway that's secure. You have a school resource officer. But, man, just such a hard thing to hear about. And as a school official for you, I imagine that it was even harder because you're so close to that type of a situation.
Chuck, that would be your worst nightmare to get that phone call. Of course, Trent Lovett, superintendent in Hartsville County, I know Trent very well. We used to officiate a lot together when I officiated in the OVC, and he was an official of OVC as well, and a good official. But to get that phone call to say that you've got an active shooting in your building, to me, that would be very devastating. We have in every school in our district, you have to buzz in, and you have to sign in, and you have to get a badge to say why you're there. We've really improved on people coming to our school. We want people in our building. We want people in our school, but we want to know who's there and their purpose. And we've done a good job with that. We had a safe school audit last year for the high school. And after we got complete with it, finished and completed that renovation out there, and they give us an A-plus rating on the how we set up the high school for people to go out there and be able to get in. You know, this is a shame. This is the world we're living in today, and the society that we're living in today. You've got to put everything you can to safeguard for the safety of kids. We do have two resource officers. One is housed at the high school, and then the others, we have one housed at the middle school. They're on call at all times to go to the elementaries if needed. But with the sheriff's department working with us, and we've been able to get two resource officers, and I have to say Jim Stemper and Mark Klein, they do a wonderful job, and we're very fortunate to have the background they have and the training they have. They're two outstanding men and do a great job, but I always say the safety and welfare of kids come first, and we're going to do everything we can to continue doing that. But when you got somebody so mentally deranged to a point that they actually want to bring a gun in, you can't stop everything, but we're doing everything we can to make sure the safety and welfare of our kids come first.
Did you talk to some of your officials around your various schools about the incident after it happened?
So a couple of superintendents I've talked to about, and of course we all, our prayers and thoughts go out to Marshall County's schools and to all the students and the parents and the employees and Trent Lovett, the superintendent, and we all just we're just devastated over it because none of us want to go through that. And as I say, our prayers and thoughts go out to the Marshall County School District and Marshall County High School.
And moving forward, I know that you talked a little bit about your retirement plans. Do you feel like, I mean, otherwise, outside of the financial situation, I know that's pretty big, obviously, but at the same time, as you look to leave the district and retire here at the end of June, that things are in pretty good shape?
Well, Chuck, I've always said when I left that I wanted to leave, what the old saying goes, while you're on top, our facilities, I think we don't have to take a back seat to anybody. Our test scores are in good shape. I'd like to see them get better, but when we compare the surrounding counties and compare to the other districts in the region, we're right there with them, or most of them we're ahead of. The budget is in good shape. We have no standing lawsuits right now, and the morale, I feel like it's really high. So with all that said, I think that everything's in pretty good shape, and whoever's coming in, I think they're coming into a good situation, and I think that, and I told the board, I think they'll get several applicants. I think they'll have a lot of interest with this job because we don't have any drama right now at all that I know of, unless it's behind my back. But with Morehead State University here, with Cave Run Lake, with I-64, an hour from Lexington, our Ashland Huntington area, and with the growth that's going. That's going on here in Brown County, I think there'll be a lot of interest in this position.
Well, we're about to wrap up. Marvin, as always, great to have you on the show. Appreciate all your assistance over the years with school-based stories and just the relationship that we've had with you here at the radio station. Thanks so much.
Chuck, thank you, and I've always enjoyed when you call me at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night. I've always taken time and will continue to take time to speak to you and answer any questions you might have, and It's been great working with you as well.
Round County School Superintendent Marvin Moore, our guest today on Front Page. I'm your host, Chuck Moraz. See you next time.